All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up? I'm Penn.
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
I'm excited.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Right before we pressed record, you said, okay, are you ready? And I said, I'm ready, but I don't think you're ready.
I'm shaking in my boots here. We have our notes, and they're very cryptic, but...
You should be. You think you're ready, but I'm ready.
Okay. Hit me with what
First
you got.
First of all, I think it's important that we recognize something.
Okay.
This is not episode 7, nor is it episode 8.
It's episode 9.
It's episode 9, which happens to be...
Uh-oh. The same as Star Wars.
The same as the big Star Wars movie for 2019. So therefore, I thought it was especially important that we should dedicate this entire episode to talking about... No, I'm just kidding. No, but I was thinking, I want to be really prepared. I want to come to episode 9, mm-hmm. prepared to talk about Star Wars, just for a second. That's not what the whole episode is about. Just a passing thought.
Okay.
So what I did in order to be prepared is I went to somebody who I felt like would know way more about this than me.
Uh-oh.
And somebody who would be well-informed.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, every week I deal with a great guy out of Disney named Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. But there's a guy higher up the ladder who, I don't want to name names.
Walt Disney's head.
Yes. Yes. His frozen head. So I called Disney's frozen head. And I said, hey, what is the deal here with Episode 9 and Avengers? And he said, what do you mean? And I told him about our bet, and I said, which is going to be bigger? And he said the three words that made me so happy. I said, which is going to be bigger?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. It was really interesting. So we had this whole conversation. So this is a guy. And again, this is not the regular guy that I talk to every week. This is a guy pretty high up the ladder. I don't talk to him a whole lot. I've known him for years.
Okay.
So obviously I have a comfortable enough relationship that I could call him when I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not like the regular. This is a guy who really knows what's going on the inside of Disney, right?
Wow.
And so I was really thrilled because I'm starting to believe your hype. So I can admit here on the podcast that I got a little nervous. I started to doubt myself. I mean, I never stopped believing, but I started thinking Captain Marvel was essentially just like a massive long, you know, $160 million trailer for Endgame.
Right.
And everybody I know, including me, of course, is over just so excited for Endgame. And I started to wonder like, man, maybe I'm really missing the boat here. And so this guy who really knows, he says to me how, you know, either one could go. Because he said he could argue either one.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what he told me that I don't think you're ready for.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, no.
He said, but you're not considering... He said, you think those are the only two movies that could be the number one movie? I said, yeah. He said, there could be a third. To which I replied, what the hell are you talking about?
Dumbo's not going to be that good.
Right. It's not going to be Dumbo. It's not going to be Aladdin. Right?
Right.
What about Lion King?
Yeah. Ooh. No. No. No.
No. Just no.
I think it'll be great, but I just... Well, Lion King's the third one of them to come out this year, right? Like it comes
something
after
crazy
Aladdin,
like that, yeah. It's in
and
July.
After Dumbo,
yeah.
I think Lion King's gonna sway really hard on how those first two go, because I think people are on the fence after Jungle Book. Not like on the fence is it good or not, but on the fence of whether or not they want to see it.
Okay, like, I agree and I disagree.
Okay.
Okay, I agree with what I think you're saying, which is that Lion King is going to finish third, behind Star Wars and Avengers,
mm-hmm.
right? Or behind Avengers and Star Wars, depending on how you see it. I think we're in agreement on the top three movies.
Okay.
Although, certainly, I would want to make a case for Toy Story. if you're looking for third place. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to say Toy Story is going to be either one of the top two. But anyway, I don't want to take the whole episode, but I just thought it was really interesting that Lion King has enough of the perfect ingredients, including that incredible soundtrack, all this kind of stuff. I think Lion King's going to be a serious movie in July.
It's funny because last week we talked about how you wanted to get an FX machine.
Right.
And this would have been the perfect time for when you broke out.
Hey.
You
know what? Oimbo, oimbo, oimbo. All right, David, what news you got for us?
Okay. All right. Well, let's break out probably the biggest news of the week. Dune news.
Hans Zimmer
scoring the new Dune. I think that's awesome. Didn't he retire?
I thought so. He's coming back.
After Star Wars, wasn't he like, I'm done? The last Star Wars? Didn't he do the last Star Wars?
I thought John Williams did the last Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, John Williams.
I think he got our guys mixed up.
But I thought he was retired, too.
I thought Hans Zimmer retired. I noticed that the credits in Star Wars, because I'm a big John Williams fan.
Right.
I've always been a huge, I mean, obviously, you know, I love Star Wars, but the music has always been a big part of why I love it. So I you know, that was the first time I ever noticed who the composer was. And I noticed in the last, I think it was episode 8, that the credits are like John Williams, but then there's also like other credits for people composing and performing works based on John Williams' material.
Right, right.
So you sort of start to get the sense that there's other people in the kitchen and he's still the head chef.
Okay.
You know, but that's John Williams.
Well, this is Hans Zimmer.
This is Hans Zimmer, also a stud in his own right. I believe, right. Somebody can correct me, podcast@penncinema.com, but I believe that Hans Zimmer is like Christopher Nolan guy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that kind of stuff. And so I think that's great news.
I'm so I was so happy to hear that. I mean, the only thing that would have made me more excited, and it wouldn't really have fit, but if they would have been like Daft Punk doing the music for Dune, that's the only thing. So there's more Dune news.
Okay, thank God.
Right. I can't remember. Maybe we did cover this last time, but they're revitalizing the Dune board game.
Oh.
Because of the movie.
Yeah.
And this thing is one of those things that, like, if you're a Dune fan, you kind of hear musings about. No one ever has, like, a full set of it. No one knows if it was any good or not. Like, it was definitely a thing that happened. But nobody knows. like, and it was based off the Lynch movie. And so maybe they'll update it and make it good.
Sweet.
Who knows? But the biggest Dune news of the week.
Whoa.
Is right now I'm sliding over a copy of Frank Herbert's Dune.
Dun, 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 dun.
For Penn to read while he's on vacation.
All right. You just go ahead and finish up this podcast and I'm going to start reading.
Start reading.
And where's all the pictures?
I pulled out the big guns because I have several copies of this book, of course.
Yes.
And I brought the one with an opening by Neil Gaiman. So if he can't convince you to
and listen to
reading.
This. Listen to this. This is a heavy hardcover.
That's
this
legit.
Is it, man.
That's
I can't
legit
wait.
Right there.
I so, can't wait.
But moving out of Dune news, if anyone wants to listen any further, I probably not. Bill and Ted Face the Music. Bill and Ted 3 has a release date of August 21st, 2020.
The only reason why I like talking about Bill and Ted is because I just can't. I'm speechless. I can't believe that it's actually. First of all, I can't believe it's happening. Second of all, I can't believe that we're talking about it.
Have you seen the photos of the videos?
Yes. So awful.
These guys, I'm like, do you really want to do this movie, guys?
It'll be fun when we do our year-end episode. Mm. I think that this will be on our short list of worst ideas of 2019. I guess by then we won't have seen it yet, so we won't know.
We won't know how bad it is.
When we conclude our 2020 year-end review.
We might have a trailer by then. Because they're filming.
God bless us.
We should, when we do talk about it, we should investigate what the Bill guy has been doing all these years.
He's been waiting for Keanu Reeves to agree to a third one.
That's about true. So Guardians of the Galaxy 3 begins production February 2021. Is that not kind of far out?
Are we sure that's right?
I'm pretty sure that's...
I thought that was a typo. That's insane to announce when production begins and it's all but 2 years away.
I'm going to double check right now. But I'm pretty sure it's because of he's committed to Suicide Squad.
Yeah, okay.
But you go ahead and give me some
news. Because last week you told us that James Gunn was back. Okay, I mean, while you're looking that up, I just I was impressed, and I posed the question, do we care? And spoiler alert, I do. I mean, I don't really know why, but Terminator, the untitled Terminator film, has been sitting on the release calendar for a while, and it finally has a title, Terminator Dark Fate. I think it works. I feel like this is it's kind of – I'm not saying it's the best or whatever, but no matter how you slice it, Terminator is a significant franchise in movie history. It has a place in movie history. So if they're going to do another one and we take them at face value that they're going to do it well, I like the name Dark Fate. I think that's eerie enough and creepy enough for a new Terminator. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, this one has three versions of what's her name in it? Right. The mom, right? So maybe fate has a double meaning.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like an unavoidable future fate. Or, I don't know.
Wait till we get to the trailer for John Wick.
Oh, snap.
Because I did some homework on this.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No. Okay, by the way, screenrant.net or .com or whatever confirmed 2021.
Okay. February. Well, that makes sense. If they're waiting for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Yeah. You wanted to talk about Toxic Avenger?
Yeah. Okay. So Toxic Avenger, the...
Why?
Why? Why are they remaking this movie? Did you ever like the movie Toxic Avenger? Okay.
Did you?
No. Yeah. I mean, it's... I would be wary to show it to anyone now, let alone then. I remember watching the cartoon and having the toys, which had nothing to do with the movie. I don't know how they thought there's a new audience for it, but...
So this gets a big whatever.
Whatever. We'll probably talk about it again. Trailer.
So that's our... We've introduced a new category to the Penn and David's movie reviews. We're either on board or it's a big whatever.
Yeah, it's a big whatever. You got anything else for me?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about... you know, and it's hard to sort of get into, but I always think it's interesting. People are always interested to hear a little bit about the movie business. Mm-hmm. So it's official. Disney bought Fox.
Oh, yeah. It was like Wednesday at 12 a.m. or something?
Yeah. And it was really creepy because the morning after that sort of midnight bell struck is when I was on the phone with a variety of people from Disney and Fox. And the consistent theme from all of them was... I don't know. So, like, for example, we were booking Nine to Five, the Dolly Parton classic from 1980.
Yeah.
We're booking that for a special event down in Wilmington. And I didn't – do I call the Fox Repertory Services or do I call Disney Repertory Services? And Disney has all their titles offline. Like, you can't show any Disney movies with some rare exceptions. So I was curious, like, who do I – I ended up booking it with the Fox guy, which is now the Disney guy. But it was just – if you're interested in sort of the movie news, the big thing going on behind the scenes from the studio business, in the business of exhibition and distribution of films, this is a monumental moment in history that there've never – I mean, we've had mergers. Summit made it big, I think, with Twilight, and then they merged real quick with somebody else. I think it was Lionsgate. And I might have that wrong. But there have been lots of little mergers along the way. But for Disney and Fox to all of a sudden be the same – and I also think it's cute that people are calling it a merger. Like, I'm not sure it's really much of a merger as much as it was a swallowing.
Yeah. Merger makes it sound like it was a mutual beneficial agreement.
Right. Oh, this is cute. And they're going to stand together and hold hands and announce a new company. No, not at all. Disney now owns Fox.
So out of the wake of this.
Yes.
Some of the things that I've been picking up on was people are starting to be more open about franchises that were already in production. And I've heard stuff about Dark Phoenix, not very positive. Mm. That it's just not a good movie. That people they didn't know what to do with it, and they just kept pushing it off.
I think the first place that movie fans are going to see the first place that this merger, we'll call it a merger, we'll play along. the first place that this merger is going to start being noticed by fans is when movies like Dark Phoenix, and I'm sure there's other titles that are escaping me right now, all of a sudden get either new release dates or indefinitely postponed release dates.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And if we start to see movies pushed around, changed, and I don't want to be negative. Maybe there's some Fox titles that Disney, you know, is excited about and thinks that they can, you know, prop up and really move to a more attractive release date.
Mm.
So I just think that's, first of all, I think it's, from my business, you know, in the industry of showing movies, this is a massive week. It's not necessarily making mainstream headlines, but you cannot overstate how big this is for the movie industry. I think the next closest analogy would be if Regal bought AMC, you know, or vice versa, which vice versa wouldn't hold up. The analogy wouldn't make sense, but. Yeah, anyway, so I just think it was worth commenting on. And I'm not sure it's going to mean a ton to moviegoers until you start to see movies get pushed around and franchises that had previously been greenlit, you know, may get put back on the shelf.
Now, they get the Searchlight films as well, right?
Right, okay. Which I'm a big fan of. We have a trailer on our list this morning that we're going to talk about her. It's not morning, is it? No.
Right. It's not even evening.
It's not even evening. So yeah, that's all I had to say about that. But speaking of Disney and their incredible franchises, we talked about this before, but did you read the interview with the Russo brothers?
I did not. Fill me in.
So the Russo brothers were interviewed, this might be old news to our listeners, but a couple weeks ago, I believe, they reconfirmed that Disney is apparently approving a three-hour runtime. I have to admit, I had kind of been in denial about this because I thought to myself, like, well, they're talking 3 hours just because they're trying to, everyone's trying to make headlines and sort of, you know, how people over inflate numbers and, you know, sort of trying to get your attention. But it'll really be, so it'll be long. It'll be like 2:45, you know. And of course, we have a problem with that because, like all good Marvel movies, you always wait till the end of the credits. So a normal movie that's 2 hours and 45 minutes long, you can start cleaning the theater after like 2 hours and 35 minutes
because
you can count on 10 minutes of trailers. With a Marvel movie, you can't get in there till the 2:45. Every last second, people want to see that cat puke up a Tesseract. And so when they say 3 hours, it's going to be – so when they said 2:45, I really thought to myself, you know – or when they said it's going to be almost 3 hours, I really thought to myself, it's going to be 2:45. And then I was like, well, it's probably even going to be like 2:40 or, you know, something like that. I think The Last Avengers was 2:42, if I remember correctly,
something like that.
It was long.
Yeah, it was long.
But 3 hours is insane. Like that's – do we get an intermission?
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think there'll be an intermission?
I think that'd be neat. I think it'd be kind of a hook. You know,
but
like a little gimmick.
How does that help you? Because that's more time.
Well, it helps me because people come out and buy more snacks while they're in there. But really, the issue is this. I don't think there's going to be an intermission. And the reason I don't think there's going to be an intermission is that one of the things Russo said in this interview is we have a lot of story to tell. We have a lot of content. And he used the phrase, we have to finish up 22 films worth of storyline, you know, to wrap up. So that made me think two things. First of all, that made me think this movie is going to be awesome. And then it also made me think, again, made me nervous about our bet. Because if they're really going to like promote this as a major milestone, like you know, the end of a run, which we know it's not, but you know, if that's how they're going to sort of give it a little extra spin, then wow, that could really push it along.
It's going to be nonstop.
Yeah.
I felt like Infinity War is nonstop.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Right.
The fact that they pulled it off, shocking. Pulling it off again, going to be amazing. It's tough.
Yeah.
But I have faith that I'm going to win.
All right. Trailers.
Okay. Another, not quite as big as last week. I felt like last week we had like huge swings. But we did get a Toy Story 4 trailer, like a full Toy Story 4 trailer.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Toy Story movies.
Who's not?
Right. Did we need a Toy Story 4?
Here's the thing. I have to tell you what happened to me.
Uh-oh.
So I typed in my little search line, Toy Story 4 trailer, right? So I clicked, and then its trailer came up, so I clicked play, and I started watching it. And there's Woody in a crate, and I'm like, my God, this is just like Madagascar. Like, it was just like the beginning of Madagascar. And then he gets washed up on this desert island. And I'm like, oh my God, it looks just like the island from Castaway. And then he starts talking about, I make fires. It's like some fake trailer, like a fan trailer that they had made. And I watched the whole thing and it was totally committed to Castaway. But it had...
How many times do these fake trailers get you?
They get me every time.
It's like you don't look at who's posting the trailer. You're just like,
I don't.
You're just like, Flabbergaster 65? Oh, yeah. That must be the official release site.
So, yeah. Toy Story 4 is not based on the plot of Castaway.
Oh,
it turns
I'm
out.
I'm shocked. Did you find the real trailer?
You're
though?
Lucky to have me, David. I'm just going to say that.
Comedy gold.
I did find the real trailer. I loved it. Here's my thing. Like, no, of course we don't need one, but are you sitting down? Yeah. We don't need another Avengers.
Whoa.
We don't need another Star Wars. Like, we don't need any of this stuff. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be amusing. Like, so why not? Let's do it. Let's have another one.
I think that this one looks like it has a really good off branch of a story comparative to the other ones.
Yeah.
With Woody being at the carnival. I mean, I'm getting a sense, and who knows what it'll be, but like, it starts off with him trying to save the spoon, and I think the spoon's going to be like...
Spoon's going to save him?
Save him. I know.
Yeah. I love it when they do that.
Yeah.
It's like Mary Poppins.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
No, so I thought it was good. To answer your question, yeah, I do think we need another one. I think, and as long as they keep coming up with good stories, and you can trust Pixar, I don't care who owns them, you know, I think they're, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Following back to your earlier comments, did they issue you like new Disney blinders when you were on the phone with them? Or... anyway, Lucy in the Sky, Natalie Portman, up in the sky, doing her things. I just realized I didn't watch this trailer.
What? I was like, "What are you? Where are you going with this?" And I just want to make sure all the listeners know, last week, David's giving me all kinds of shit for not doing my homework, and I didn't watch the film.
This morning before I came to the theater, I was like, got to make sure I look at all these, and I went through the list, and I looked through it three times, I was like, got it, done.
Lucy in the Sky is a Fox Searchlight film,
Okay. Which
first of all, gives me good confidence. I'm not saying everything they do is perfect, but I'm just saying, typically Fox Searchlight has really good movies. Mm-hmm. And it co-stars John Hamm. And I think this movie looks amazing. It's really so she's an astronaut, mm-hmm. and she goes out to space.
She has a goofy haircut.
She got a little bit of a goofy haircut. But we look past that. She goes out to outer space, and she sees the world from a dramatically different angle.
Okay.
And suddenly realizes that all of our little problems and all of our little lives are completely irrelevant, right? And then she has to come back and readjust to life on Earth. And I think it gets pretty trippy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's some wrinkles or if there's, you know, going to be anything kind of... It reminded me of Jodie Foster in Contact.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if she's going to come back having seen... Like, I don't know if there's a sci-fi twist or not. Mm-hmm. But when I was watching the trailer, it made me think about... I think we can all relate to this in a way. None of us have gone to outer space, but I think we've all been on
speak for yourself.
I think we've all been on a trip somewhere. Like, maybe you have a great 3-day weekend at Comic-Con, and then you come back to work, and people want to talk to you about the copy machine, or you know, some stupid football game, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But nobody understands this incredible weekend that you just had, or you've been on a journey or a trip, or you go to compete in an Ironman and you come back and people want to talk to you about, you know, something stupid. And so I think that we can all relate to that sense of like having been part of something really special and then coming back to readjusting to day-to-day life.
Right.
So the question mark that hangs for me over this movie, first of all, I'm totally on board. I love the trailer. I thought it was great. I'm excited about this. Natalie Portman's amazing. The question that hangs over my head is there a sci-fi twist or is this just a straightforward drama?
Mm-hmm.
Either way works for me, but I'm just saying it's unclear to me whether or not there's a sci-fi element or if it's sort of a dramatic emotional story, similar to Gravity.
Mm. I need to see the trailer. I'm really irritated with myself because the one night I was watching a YouTube video and the ad for it, for the trailer, started to play before, and I consciously said, I want to watch this, like, not as an ad with pop-ups, and I hit skip. And I was like, I'm going to come back to it, and then I totally forgot.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This is your man.
My boy.
This is your Tarantino up in it about Hollywood. This looks great.
So we're going to talk about the movie Us.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele directed.
Mm-hmm.
So I interviewed Jordan Peele where he's talking about how he decided what to do for his second film. And he said one of the things he decided to do was he went and looked at all his favorite directors, what they did for their second or in some cases third film. And the first one that he referenced was Tarantino.
Really?
Yeah. Which I thought was really interesting.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. This movie looks great. I mean, look, it's hard to really tell what it's going to be about, but like, I don't think that's totally abnormal for Tarantino. But you've got an actor and his stunt double, and stuff happens.
Are they lovers?
Are they? I kind of got the idea that they were con men.
Con men.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to pull off like some sort of con, or I don't know. But all the stuff in it looks like really interesting.
It's Tarantino, so you know there's going to be like six layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the kind of movie where I tell someone I'm really excited about, I can't wait to see it. And then they say, what's it about? And I say, that's where I become less confident.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I don't know.
If you haven't seen this trailer and you like Tarantino, like definitely go check it out.
So the third star of this movie, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Margot Robbie.
Mm, she's fantastic.
She's amazing. And yeah. I just watched her in Mary, Queen of Scots, where she plays Queen Elizabeth. And I just wanted to comment again on her incredible performance as Queen Elizabeth and the incredible makeup job they did. I did not know who it was. I had to look up who was playing Queen Elizabeth.
Her incredible performance?
Her performance.
I couldn't let that slide by. I'm sorry. Performance.
Shuddy.
John Wick 3 trailer 2, John Wick 3 Parabellum is the subtitle?
Parabellum is the subtitle.
Okay.
So I went to the extra effort.
Oh.
We're going to talk about this trailer, right?
Dish it out. Right. Yeah, yeah.
But Parabellum, I figured it was Latin. And I figured it had something to do with war, mm-hmm. you know, bellum. But I couldn't quite put it together using my 8th grade Latin skills. So I looked it up, and Parabellum is the second half of a phrase. A Latin phrase. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I'll just, in my own ignorant way, it reads like si vis pacem parabellum, which means if you want peace, prepare for war.
So it's prepare for war.
So this movie appears like prepare for war, which pretty freaking great.
Yeah.
This is a badass trailer.
This trailer is intense. He's riding on a horse. He's fighting guys. He's riding on a bike. He's fighting guys with swords and guns and
throwing knives.
Yeah, and he's breaking the law at the breaking the rules of the hotel.
But it looks like the hotel maybe gets invaded by a SWAT team that looks
or
like
maybe that's the hotel SWAT team.
No, I don't think so. I think the hotel is like defending themselves against a foreign invasion, and I think they have to enlist John Wick to sort of. They have to bring him back into the fold to save the.
Because I think what I pieced together between this one and the last one, because the last one had the, or maybe it was this one too, they had the countdown and he's getting stitched up and they're like 5, 4, 3 and he has that much longer till he can't get the doctor, won't do anything for him.
Right.
So I'm thinking that he gets shut out and I don't know. It looks so intense, but at the one point he turned and said something to the kind of to the character that was somewhat towards the camera and all I thought is, that's Ted from Bill and Ted. like this is what he's going to look like in Bill and Ted.
Here's my problem with the trailer.
Okay.
I already told you I'm on board with the movie. Uh-huh. The trailer's hot. I'm excited. I'm 100%. But I'm going to give you the whole story.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. This trailer flirts with one of my pet peeves.
Oh, I better know what you're going to say.
In the movies. What you want to take a guess?
Too much plot? nope. information?
Nope, nope, nope. That's okay. Your pet peeve.
Okay. Oh. It hurts that you pointed back at me.
You're looking in a mirror. My pet peeve that this flare, that this trailer flirts with is I hate it in movies when 26 guys are shooting at one guy and not one of those 26 guys can hit him. But as soon as the one guy turns around, he can take out three people with three shots.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? It just, it bugs me. And I know, don't write me and tell me all about the, you know.
But do write him at podcast@pensinema.com.
The willing suspension of disbelief. I get it. I know it's just the movies and I know it's fun. And believe me, I'm on board for things that are not realistic. Mm-hmm. But just at some point, it's so ridiculous. It bugs me. And I'm hoping that this movie doesn't have too much of 26 guys, none of whom can hit John Wick.
Yeah.
And then he's like, looks in a reflection in a puddle on the ground and nails three of them with three shots.
Shoots one, the bullet spins and curves. Right. Yeah.
That is one magic bullet.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying there. I kind of felt, well, the first time I watched the first John Wick, that I felt like that was a thing that bugged me. Now, the second time, which was just recently, it didn't bother me so much.
Okay, so speaking of high-octane action movies that might have a little bit of 26 guys shooting at one guy.
Okay.
Let's go right into IP Man 4.
Intellectual Property Man 4.
Right. I need you to spell this out for me. This is or is not the same franchise that we reviewed the trailer a couple weeks ago with Mr. Z.
Okay. From what I understand, this... The Mr. Z legacy of Ip Man is a spinoff of the Ip Man series.
And this one is Ip Man 4.
Right, which according to the trailer is the final chapter of the Ip Man saga? I don't know. Movies, like, I think it's done after this. Donnie Yen is Ip Man, and he's awesome in like everything. Yeah. And I have no idea what the premise is other than there's crazy kung fu fighting.
It looked like Kill Bill without the corn, without the Tarantino.
Right. Yeah.
The Quarantino.
Without the Quarantino. You're just saying you're on point tonight, today, afternoon, whatever it is. The Master Z or Mr. Z or whatever was like made me want to watch these movies, and now I want to watch them even more.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so curious as to like what this is, how. It slipped past me. How I don't know anyone who's seen it that's told me to go watch this.
It's probably the Avatar.
it's probably Avatar. Right. subtitled, of course, so if that's not your deal, whatever. But if you like action, it looks like this is the place to be.
So I had a funny experience when we talked about the trailer for Mr. Z, and I found out what studio it was and dropped them a note and never expected to hear from them again.
Oh, okay.
They wrote me back like almost instantly.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, do you want to play Lidditz? And I was like, I don't know, man. Do I? So I'm kind of holding out to see. I'd be curious if there's anyone listening to this podcast who has an opinion on whether or not Mr. Z would find an audience in a mainstream commercial movie theater.
Yeah, please, podcast@penncinema.com, because I want to see it, and seeing it on the big screen could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it might be one of those things like, is it cool enough that, a lot of times I play movies here, not just because I want to sell a lot of tickets to it, but also for the fun of being able to say we played it. You know what I mean? So this might be one of those movies that I book it anyway and don't even worry about if there's going to be a lot of tickets, but just because I feel like one thing that Penn Cinema has always been about is booking, you know, a lot of different movies, you know. Speaking of which, we have some good numbers, which I'm going to quiz you on later.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, could this be the Crouching Tiger of the 20 teens?
I don't think so. I don't think it has the marketing budget, because if it did, I think we would have already heard about it.
That could be, yeah.
And the studio, I can't even remember the name of the studio, but it's tiny.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right.
Interesting. Okay. So, getting a little bit more serious here, Dora and the Lost City. Dora the Explorer has a movie coming out. a live action film. How pumped are you for this movie, Trent? Are you over the Rhine?
Here's the thing.
You got to remember, I'm all over the place on this title. And I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious. Like, on the one hand, I could care less. Like, whatever. I don't know. This is a big whatever movie. It's a kid's title. To me, it's like when they made the live-action Scooby-Doo movie. Like, it's whatever. But on the other hand, I have two daughters, both of whom watched Dora the Explorer on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen every episode 100 times. We have books. We had dolls back in the day. Like, mm-hmm. you know, no swipey, my swipey, you know. Like, just, you know. So it has a special place in my heart, and I do care about it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this. So I'm going to admit here to the podcast, yeah, I'm a fan of Dora because I love my kids, so I love the things that they love. So that makes me an accidental Dora the Explorer fan. Mm-hmm. All right, can we live with that? Can we?
When are you going to admit all those things you just listed were yours and not your daughter's?
So if I'm a fan,
okay,
and I'm watching this trailer, I have two conflicting thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought is she's too old.
Mm.
I always thought Dora was like a first grader.
Yeah. I think in the show, in the cartoon, she is.
She's like a little kid.
Unless she's a high schooler.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So my first thought is a problematic thought, which is that she's too old. My second thought is a good thought, which is, okay, if I can get over that, if the premise is, hey, Dora, when you loved her on Nickelodeon, was 6 and now she's 16, which actually makes sense. If you can accept that and take it for what it is, the premise looks kind of cute. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm like excited to go see this movie, but I'm just saying, like, for a little kid's movie, you know, the premise looks kind of cute. She's taken from the jungle to go to LA where she hooks up with Diego. And I don't mean hooks up in the vernacular sense that we, you know, where she meets up with Diego, because that would get weird. That's a whole different problem.
Whole different thing.
So her and Diego are in L.A., and I guess they all go on a field trip and get kidnapped and sent back to the jungle to find their parents who are in the Lost City of Gold. It's kind of a cutesy premise. And, like, on the one hand, she starts out as a real fish out of water, but then she's accidentally transported back to her where she's comfortable in the jungle. So I have a problem with her being a high schooler, but if we can accept that and move on, then yeah, all right.
I'll say, like, this isn't something I want to see or plan to see. It depends. Writing it down is something we're going to review. Yeah,
absolutely. Frame by frame.
Now I have to see. some of the jokes, like, I smiled.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh. Like, I guess it's probably would get old pretty quick, but, like, the fact that, like, the other characters keep referencing, oh, of course Dora has a knife with her.
Right.
Of course she's friends with the monkey. Like,
right.
Like, that kind of stuff had me chuckling a little bit.
The monkey has a name, David.
It's
Boots.
Boots.
Come on. Don't act like you don't know.
I can neither confirm nor deny that the information was in my head. But it was a little off-putting when I realized how old she was supposed to be in it. But I guess it kind of fits the adventure.
I think the success of the movie rests entirely on how willing the public is or isn't to accept her as a high schooler.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll probably perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. One last one here on our list here, The Last Black Man in San Francisco. What a title. But I think that this movie is going to be really good.
I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah. The trailer was very impressive for a drama like this. Who knows what the quotes on it are real or not, you know, what they were quoting people. Like, people were crying, like, audibly and stuff like that. But just from what they showed, I was like, I really want to see this movie.
To me, this is one of those movies, if it's half as good as the trailer, it's going to be amazing.
Because
that trailer was powerful.
Yeah.
The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think it looks great. Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome. So if you're if you like drama, check out this trailer and then let us know what you think, if you think it looks good. podcast@penncinema.com. So, moving on from the trailers, meat and potatoes, how was this week at the theater?
It was a big week.
Yeah.
Us overperformed. I mean, really? We knew it was going to be big. And I think, I forget what I said, but I think we suspected that it would be the number one movie and that it would pass Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
Which it did, by a long shot,
ooh.
Which was, you know, expected, but also nice to see them not only do well, but do really well. So that was cool. Other than that, it was a pretty predictable weekend. You know, you had How to Train Your Dragon hanging in there and Lego Movie hanging.
Is that movie still out?
Hanging around, barely. I mean, it's only like one or two shows a day. Mm. It's like the movie that won't die. Hmm. I keep trying to final it, you know.
is it just parents who are like, I got to get my kids out of the house?
I guess. I think it just shows you, because remember when it opened, it didn't open crazy.
Right.
It was pretty solid, but it technically underperformed.
But it wasn't competing with anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's holding on. And yeah, so it was all about us and Captain Marvel.
Okay.
And 5 feet apart. Which
it's still doing good.
Which we loved. It's still doing awesome. Really well. Yeah.
Awesome. I saw Captain Marvel again today and was pleasantly surprised at how packed the theater was for a 1:30 afternoon show.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yep. Captain Marvel holding strong.
Well, now that we've got all the important stuff out of the way, henceforth, I don't think we can even begin to talk about this movie without spoilers abound.
Henceforth.
Yeah. Henceforth.
Wait, let me look that up.
Spoilers. Look, if you don't want this movie spoiled, we're definitely going to talk about other things after the review. So check the time codes in the description for this episode, wherever you downloaded it, and you will have time codes so you can pass over this. Now, us. What did you think, Penn?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Bottom line?
Yeah.
I loved it. I was left with the and this this happens to me a lot. I was left with the distinct sense that there was more going on than what I was able to pick up on.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like first of all, I definitely want to see it again. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I definitely want to read some more about it.
Didn't you say the same thing after the Dora trailer? It's definitely more going on than I can see.
I just felt like there was a lot. Like, so for example, just for an example.
Okay.
The opening of the movie, do you call it a flashback or do you just call it like whatever? It was the opening sequence where they were in the beach and the Michael Jackson t-shirt and the alcoholic father or whatever. And then, but then when it goes to credits – or not credits, but like the opening title sequence, it zooms in on that rabbit,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it expands out. And then the rabbits, that's the last you see of the rabbits until very late in the movie. So what's the significance of the rabbits? I mean, somebody as smart as Jordan Peele is not just randomly putting animals in there, right? So he put rabbits. And rabbits, to me, like when I think of rabbits, I think of two things. I think of like Easter and I think of good luck. Like, oh, he's carrying a rabbit's foot. And it's Easter, and he's got, you know, Easter eggs and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that, to me, symbolizes luck and new life.
Mm.
Now, what the tethered girl, the shadow girl, was saying was, we live down here on eating nothing but rabbits. So are you saying that the people, the underground people who then eventually come up ground, are eating the luck and the hope of the people upstairs?
See, I didn't take it that deep. I took it that rabbits were sustainable meat source because they breed so, because that's all they were eating.
I guess.
These rabbits.
All right, let's not get hung up on the rabbits. I'm just saying. Okay. I felt like there's something more to it. There's a reason why they put rabbits there and not chickens.
That's true.
Because chickens would be the obvious, like, you live on chickens. You can eat chicken.
Yep. Right. And you don't, I mean, yeah.
Chickens are easy to raise.
They're just ripping these rabbits apart. They show them.
Right.
Just like.
It's nasty.
Yeah. Wow. So what else you got?
Well, nothing. I mean, I just also wanted to comment that I loved throughout the movie, but especially in the first third when they're sort of building the characters, I loved all the pop culture references. Mm-hmm. I loved the 80s references with Chad and Goonies and the Thriller t-shirt. But my favorite pop reference in the whole movie is the little boy walking on the beach with the Jaws t-shirt. I just thought that was such a perfect like nod mm-hmm. to the movie world, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I really enjoyed this movie, and I will say, like, building it up all week, going to see it, like, I was like, wear your extra diapers.
Yeah, get anxious.
Ready,
yeah.
Get ready to get scared. I did not feel like this movie was that scary.
No.
I mean, they marketed it as kind of, I guess it technically is horror, but it wasn't, I didn't feel scared. It's suspenseful.
Anxious.
Yeah, but not, like, jump scares, not, I mean, like, it. Like, I covered my eyes.
It was definitely more of a, like, would you call it a thriller?
Yeah, I would say it's probably more of a thriller. And there are some things, okay. So, overall, I just want to say straight up, I'm 100% on board. I really enjoyed this movie. If you like thrillers, if you like suspense type stuff, like, if you like Get Out, definitely go see it. It's not as deep as Get Out, but it's a well-made movie. But... Of course, I'm a little nitpicky.
Are you sure it's not as deep as Get Out?
Well, he even said that it wasn't okay. Like as... Maybe we'll find over time.
Okay.
I forget what that who said it once, but it was like sometimes a movie's deepness is discovered by the fans and not like intended.
Well, my favorite is Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. In many, many interviews, has repeatedly said, Jaws is just a movie about a big shark. Like there's 16 different ways to interpret, you know, it's anti, capitalism or the water represents your subconscious and the shark is your ego or like mm-hmm. whatever. Like there's 12 different ways, you know, to interpret Jaws mm-hmm. and Spielberg sort of came out and has said a number of times that, yeah, I mean, it's based on a book and it's about a gigantic shark.
I think that I think this could be the same type of movie.
Could be. Especially when you get to the twist at the end.
Right.
Then you're really like, oh snap. This is not that.
Right. This is you know how I love trailers.
Indeed.
And I didn't think they didn't spoil any twists or anything, but I felt like a lot of the tension was removed because of information I had from the trailers.
Mm.
For instance, like when they broke into the house, like I was ready. It was like, oh, here it comes. I was ready to get like, I don't know, a little scared or whatever. But it's such a drawn out scene that I started to be like, all right, like get to the living room. Like get to the punchline of, oh my gosh, it's us. Like I'm ready for the reveal. Like I'm tired of this suspense. And I think some of that just kept coming because like the trailer revealed that the friends got murdered. Now how they got murdered was totally different than what was expected.
Right.
But you know, when they showed them again, I was waiting for them to get murdered. So things turned out differently than what I thought was going to happen, but some of the suspense I felt was a little bit more removed.
Yeah.
Because when they would be especially in the beginning when they'd be attacking them, I thought, well, I know there's another scene at another location with this character, so he's not going to die here. So
interesting.
So there's that. So anyway, in this movie, there's at some point they decided to make copies of people, clone them underground to try and control the people that were copied, but it didn't work. It worked the other way around. And then they were abandoned and left to go crazy underground. And here's the part that, like, here's the part that this happened with 5 Feet Apart, where I'm watching it and they show them all like crazy downstairs doing stuff. And I'm like, where's the textile industry down here? Where are they getting these clothes to match what the people have up top? How's that? With the red jumpsuits, who made that?
Why are they all wearing red jumpsuits when they're up ground and they're not when they're below ground?
It was part of her plan. So the twist is that at the beginning of the movie, the little girl goes into a hall of mirrors and sees her shadow, her duplicate, and she runs off, and the parents are like, she's not the same. Well, the twist is that she was replaced by the underground girl, which is explains why when they come to the surface, the only one that can talk is the woman who used to be from the surface, and she was the one to organize everything.
Right.
And there was some really interesting things like foreshadowing that, like when they were doing the song in the car, like the mom she's off beat, she can't keep the beat to the music, and she's trying to get her son on beat, and just like when she's killing her, when the mom is killing the who you think is the replacement girl, she starts to do the like growl that the other replacement characters do, like that kind of stuff. Foreshadowing, it was, but you don't really see until you rethink about it.
The best foreshadowing of this movie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go out on a limb and say any movie,
oh,
is when they're at the beginning of the movie when the family's all walking onto the beach,
mm-hmm.
and they have the shot from the drone, like from up in the sky, and you look down at them walking on the beach, and you see their shadows walking along with them.
Oh.
That was a neat effect. Yeah. That was really, because I noticed it. I noticed it. Like, it caught my eye while I'm watching the movie. I'm thinking, that's a really cool shot. Look at those shadows walking with them. And then later, obviously, when you start to realize what's going on, you're like, oh, that's kind of a neat artistic move.
But I guess they, like, after it was over, my friends and I were talking. And we're like, well, how many were there? Like, I guess it wasn't everybody, because at the end, you see people still flying around in helicopters, and like,
right.
like the Santa Cruz is like devastated, but other parts of the world seem like they might be okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool, really creepy in that sense, them doing the hands across America, but it's like what because it didn't seem like the duplicates could really think for themselves,
right.
like past that point. So.
So here's a fact.
Yeah.
I'll offer up as a fact.
Okay.
I don't know if it is or not.
Mm-hmm.
This movie would be impossible to make a sequel to. Right?
I agree with you. I don't understand where they would go, because there's the only reason they did this is because they had the girl from the surface organizing.
Right.
And until that.
So he's going to go make Get Out 2 before he makes Us 2.
Yeah. Oh, it's Us 2.
Us 2.
Oh. T-O-O. I don't know, but I think they could have made it like a little bit more creepier, where it's like it would have been neat to see, because they explain they kind of share souls.
Right.
It would have been, and that's how like the people on the surface, what they did would make the people underground kind of do whatever. It's like, I was like, well, how did they break that cycle? One, to get them to not just do
right.
what the people would. And then the second thing was, in my mind, wouldn't it have been, these people are like crazy, and then when they killed their surface person, if like having not being tethered, they then got a part of their soul.
Had some kind of powers restored.
Yeah. Either became more, like got a sense of humanity and was like shocked at what they did,
right.
or something like that. Like it could have been, could have gotten crazy,
yeah.
but it didn't. Maybe I'm digging too deep into it, or deeper than you want to get into it, but I really enjoyed it. I had questions. I had nitpicky things to say. I definitely recommend it. I'm totally on board. I walked out of the theater, and the thing in my head I thought was, I can't wait for The Twilight Zone, because I think both with this movie and Get Out, Jordan Peele's an amazing director, but I think his niche might be short stories.
Mm.
Because I feel like both of them went just long enough for me to start questioning what was happening, instead of just being like, this is how it is, now leave it to your imagination.
Yeah.
So Twilight Zone should be pretty great.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm psyched for that.
Yeah. So any other thoughts on your side?
No.
Well, there you have it. We're on board for This Is Us.
There you go.
Go see it. On to listener notes. We had some people send us in their pertinent information, podcast@penncinema.com. Robert from the Lancaster Science Factory appreciates the Dune news. How do you feel about that, Penn?
What, the deep underground neutron experiment news?
Yeah.
No, that was Scott Gibble that wrote
Scott
us in
wrote
the
that. Yeah.
No. Have you been to the Lancaster Science Factory?
I have never been.
Road trip. We got to take a road trip. All that place is so cool.
That's what I've been hearing. And he offered to give us a little bit of a tour.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I think we should definitely take him up on it.
Yeah.
And my only comment to Robert is, you know, you keep writing these notes, you're only you're only going to encourage David.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then Scott sent us. He got me. He tricked me, which I already admitted to him. But he sent us a link to an article about deep underground neutrino experiments, which I thought for a second, oh, that's what Dune stands for. That's where Dune comes from.
You really thought that was? Oh, my word.
Like, what do I know? You know what I mean?
You're about to get educated.
I know.
That's
I'm psyched. I'm a little nervous because there's no pictures in it. But so then also... last week we spoke about how many titles we played, and what how did the conversation go?
You said there was 150 titles, and that we probably could name 20, but a normal person would name like 5 or something.
Yeah, so we were sort of having this conversation about what we did last year, or not just last year, but just sort of in general. We were having the conversation about how there's a lot more titles, a lot more movies are made and released than you, unless you stop and think about it. Than you would think. So I think if you stop a person on the street,
yeah.
I'm guessing they could name 4 or 5 titles from 2018.
Okay.
Maybe. Since you and I are pretty much in the loop on this stuff,
I'm
betting we could name 10 or 15.
Yeah.
If we had time to really think about it, we could probably name 20.
Mm-hmm.
But what did I tell you? We did the math and we were like, well, there's 52 weeks a year. If we did 2 or 3 titles a week, that comes out to like 150 titles.
Yeah.
So we're saying that you and me, two very knowledgeable, relatively knowledgeable knuckleheads, you know, could name 10, and there's actually 150. But actually, I thought there was more, and I was right.
Oh,
so here's
boy.
What I did. So we had some listener feedback asking us to expand on 2018, which we're not saying 2018 special. We're just saying, okay, well, we just had
it
a
just
calendar
happened.
Year,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
let's see what we did. Here's what we did.
Okay.
There were 298.
298 movies.
All but 300 different movies were played at Penn Cinema Lititz in 2018.
What?
298 titles. Now, okay, so now I know what you're thinking.
How?
You're thinking some of those titles are like one-offs.
Yeah, or so, Fathom Events.
Right, right.
Okay.
So Fathom Events. So for example, we brought back Hugo. That made $40. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a movie called Out on Stage that made $30. You know,
right.
it was nothing.
Nope.
So these Fathom events. So what I did, Fathom events and special events in general. So what I did was, if you cut it, if you track it back down to $1,000, so that sort of eliminates pretty much all the one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
If you draw a line in the sand and say $1,000
minimum, of
minimum
what I brought in.
7-day gross.
Okay.
201 titles.
That's all that it took out?
No, I'm saying that's how many titles we played.
So, yeah, so it only took out 90-some
right.
titles.
Right, 97 titles. So of legit movies that had an actual theatrical run and that we actually played, there were 201 of them.
Wow.
And can you name the lowest grossing movie of 2018? Came from a movie studio called Neon.
No, but I definitely can't. I don't know.
And it was called Assassination Nation.
Assassination Nation. I just watched the trailer for that today when I was making sure that we had all our trailers up. For whatever reason, it was listed as a new trailer.
What?
And I was like, this didn't come out this year. What? And I watched the trailer. I was like, how does this look? This doesn't look good at all.
Well, yeah. Apparently, it wasn't very good.
Wow. So you didn't watch it yourself?
I did not. People always say to me, do you watch every movie? And I always say, only the good ones. And then another thing that I run into is people say, you like all these movies. Every movie you see, you like. And I always tell them that's because I don't watch the,
don't watch the
crap.
Or you forget about them.
Or I forget Grant them. Grant up. All right, tough guy.
Okay.
You're gonna start,
you start
tough on me.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right, we're going to start off with some easy ones.
Okay.
The top three movies.
Top three movies of last year.
Top three movies. Do you want to take a stab at naming them, or should I name them and then you can put them in order?
Let me put them in order.
Okay. Alphabetically.
Okay.
The top three movies were Avengers, Black Panther, and Incredibles. That's in alphabetical. So what order would you put them in? Number one movie, Avengers, Black Panther, or Incredibles 2?
Black Panther number one.
Wrong.
Really?
Really.
This is going to be a surprise, isn't it? You're going to tell me it's Incredibles, aren't you?
Here's the thing. I'll let you off the hook a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Nationally, Black Panther was the number one movie.
Okay.
But in Lititz, Avengers was the number one movie.
Okay.
The number two movie in Lititz was Incredibles 2. Number three movie in Lititz was Black Panther. They weren't separated by a ton, although I will say Avengers was very, like, Incredibles and Black Panther were pretty close. Avengers was way up there.
Wow.
But nationally, Black Panther was number one, Avengers was number two, and Incredibles was number three. So we just circled that around a little bit. But I had some fun and games for you, so okay. Let's see. We're going to play a game.
All right.
Called Over Under.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you some movies, and you're going to tell me if they did more or less. Okay. Remember this movie that came out called Jurassic World?
Yeah.
Okay. More or less than Solo?
Than Solo. More.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, that was easy. Now, Deadpool. Deadpool 2. More or less than Jurassic World?
More.
Less.
What?
Jurassic World beat Deadpool 2.
You're not looking at Deadpool re-release PG-13, right?
We didn't even play.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
That's right. Yeah, you did.
We weren't fooling around with that mess. Deadpool 2, more or less than Solo?
Why? My whole world is shaking.
Shook. It should be.
Less.
And then we'll get to some fun ones. Deadpool was more than Solo.
Okay.
So what's interesting to me about that is that Solo was less than Deadpool and Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Which speaks to some of what we talked about with Solo being not quite a great...
Well, Solo only made $500 million or something.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, compared to the billions.
All right, now let's have some fun. I don't really expect. It's a little bit like guessing. What made more, Ant-Man or Aquaman?
Aquaman.
Wrong.
Whoa!
What made more, Greatest Showman or Mamma Mia?
Greatest Showman.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is the one. This is the one I'm excited to see what you think.
Okay. All right.
Do you remember the movie called The Meg?
Yeah. I saw it 3 times.
So you did not.
I did.
You saw The Meg 3 times.
I saw The Meg 3 times.
Okay. That is freaking brilliant. That tells me everything I ever needed to know. I start out with, do you remember this movie called The Meg? He saw it 3 times.
3 times. I can't believe it.
I can't go on. I'm shook.
What were you going to compare it to?
Okay. So, do you remember this other movie?
Mm-hmm.
Ready Player One.
I saw it 1 time.
What do you think made more?
The Meg.
The Meg did make more.
Yeah.
Now I got another one for you.
Uh-huh.
The Post.
I don't remember that one. The Post?
Yeah, it was like a newspaper movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was about Watergate or Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
We got it for awards, didn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. It was really good, but I can't remember.
I saw The Meg 3 times.
I saw The Meg 3 times. The Post also outgrossed Ready Player One.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. Venom, which I know is one of your favorite titles, Venom also outgrossed The Meg. And what surprised me is Venom outgrossed Fantastic Beasts.
Really? You know, I wasn't really pleased with this Fantastic Beasts. Huh. I mean, I thought it was fine, but like, I felt like it was kind of a letdown. Hmm. I think that was kind of a popular opinion.
Here's one that made me sad.
Uh-oh.
50 Shades Freer. You remember that one? Did you see that 3 times?
I saw it.
50 Shades Freed beat Creed 2.
Get out of town.
True.
I didn't even realize that came out last year. I thought that series was done.
You could wish. Now, there's a movie. You tell me, do we need another one? You asked me if we need another Toy Story.
Yeah.
I'm 100% on board with another Toy Story. Do we need another 50 Shades? For God's sakes. No.
No.
Like, we're done.
I can't. Aren't I don't even know. The books are done, right? Like, they're done.
I think so.
Please.
Please, guys.
Be done.
So there you have it. 298 titles.
Wow.
201 legitimate theatrical runs.
This is information that blows me away.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's wild.
So.
We're not just a pretty face, David.
You get stuff done.
We're getting stuff done, yo.
Well, getting to the wrap up of the show. It's been a week. What have you taken in this week? What are you reading? What are you watching?
All right, I got two quickies and then a real one.
All right.
I rewatched Mary Queen of Scots.
Okay.
With Margot Robbie. I loved it.
Okay.
And I've told you before about Mike Riley, the voice of Iron Man, not Robert Downey Jr., the other Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a new book out, and I got on the subscription list like 6 months ago, pre-order.
Yeah.
And then I just got the news. It's available, so I immediately clicked purchase, and I'm anxiously awaiting its arrival.
Oh, boy.
The book is called Finding My Voice.
Okay.
This is the guy at every finish line of the World Championships, and then also at a lot of other finish lines, when you cross the line at the end of an Ironman,
he says,
you are an Ironman.
What happens if this book shows up before your vacation? Because we're talking about a race. Dune came in first place.
Dune.
Before this book.
I gotta read Dune first.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I got you. But what are the one that I think is worth might be interesting to people if they're not already aware of it. Mm-hmm. The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet, but
it's
so
good.
Yeah. Is it scary?
It's scary as hell.
I don't know if I can do it.
But it's not necessarily jump scary. It's closer to a thriller than a horror movie, but it is also, I mean, it's freaky.
Like, all the photos I've seen are just like people in the background just be like,
what's up, my neck's broken, I'm bent neck lady. Shout out to my girl Marley for telling me about this.
Whoa.
And then I gave her a solid back by telling her about this movie that came out a long time ago called The Shining.
Oh.
You've seen that one.
I have seen that one.
Yes. So her and her little college buddies are going to watch The Shining.
Oh.
I hope.
They better.
Because they love Hill House, so they got to love The Shining.
They got to love The Shining.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What are you doing?
Okay. So just to hark back, I told you about Farscape, which I know totally piqued your interest.
Yes.
It reached its 20-year anniversary. It's now available on Prime, so everyone has access to Farscape. Go watch it.
I wish I could have cued crickets just then. Because you got your hands up in the air. You're all excited.
Come on. Watch Farscape, please.
And I just heard this crickets for some reason.
And I'm reading for the Orbital Sword podcast. I'm reading a book called Sea of Thieves, Athena's Fortune by Chris Alcock. About a third into it. It's pretty good. We're talking pirate fantasy here. So if that's your deal.
Pirate fantasy as in like Pirates of the Caribbean type?
Yeah, like where there's monsters. It's pirates and then there's like sea creatures.
Nice.
And that kind of stuff. Okay. So, but the big thing I did this week is last night I went to see my favorite band, Guster, perform in Philly. And I did a special 2-set show where they celebrated the 20th anniversary of my favorite album of theirs. And they played a new set of all their that they're currently touring, and then they played the full album immediately after. And it was amazing. Admittedly, 3 hours of your favorite band. At the end, you're kind of like, I think I'm done.
Unless your favorite band's Grateful Dead.
Well, of course.
And then 3 hours into it, you're ready to come back tomorrow night and do it again.
Do it again. Sounds like you've been there.
I've done that. Yes.
Yeah. So that was my big intake this week, and it was a ton of fun. Moving on, next week we're going to have an interesting show.
I think we're going to try to orchestrate next week a little special event, because next week the two releases are Dumbo and Unplanned, and maybe Beach Bum. We'll see how that plays out. So let's take a little special, not a break, but take a little special diversion and bring on some Penn Cinema employees.
Oh.
So I'd like to get some of our staff on here and let them prepare some questions and quiz me, and I'll quiz them, and we'll see if we can't have some laughs and sort of work them into the podcast here.
That's
I think
be
it'd
awesome.
Be neat. I think the kids that work here are, first of all, they're amazing, and second of all, they have hilarious stories. You know, mm-hmm. they see a lot of really funny stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd hope to get them chatting about that.
Well, that should be interesting. We'll do our normal stuff, but instead of a review, we'll have the we'll be talking to the kids.
Perfect.
That should be a lot of fun. So, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. What's up?
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.